On the other hand, when both of these rulers died, Isabel and Amalric in 1205, the two kingdoms essentially parted company again. And while there were several efforts to bring them back together at several points in the 13th century, they really pursued a separate existence down to the late 1270s and 1280s. They were finally reunited on the eve of the fall of Acre and the last port cities to the Mamluk sultans. Really too late to affect any kind of significant military or political balance. Now, this is an important point I need to stress, because from the start, these restored kings of Jerusalem, the Lusignan kings in Cyprus, or the family descending Isabel and Conrad Montferrat, both of these families, royal families, really felt themselves in need of legitimacy. Amalric tried to solve this by giving homage to the Holy Roman Emperor Henry VI, the son of Frederick Barbarossa, who planned a crusade and actually sent initial forces out in 1197, never arrived, and it was those events that led to the unfortunate accidental defenestration of Henry of Champagne. In any case, this was an effort on the part of Amalric to make himself a vassal of whom he perceived to be the most powerful figure in Western Europe, which is the Holy Roman Emperor. And those ties of vassalage would be picked up again by Frederick II in an effort to impose direct Hohenstaufen control over Outremer when Frederick came east in the Sixth Crusade. The kings in the princes in Antioch, who also ruled Tripoli, faced the same problem. How could they bolster their reputation? They intermarried with the Armenian kings of Cilicia, that is of southeastern Asia Minor, in 1197, 1198. Those Armenian principalities were consolidated into a kingdom under Leon or Levon II, the Rupenian prince in that area, of a family that goes back to the Armenians who first asserted their independence during the time of the First Crusade. And Leon did the same as Amalric. He rendered homage to the Holy Roman Emperor as well, and that's how he got his crown. So in Outremer, there was a sense of these weak rules. They somehow had to link themselves with the powerful monarchs of Western Europe. They needed titles. They needed marriages. They needed military support. And this leads to a great deal of the types of tortured diplomatic and marriage arrangements we find that characterize the 13th century. Queen Maria, the eldest daughter of Isabel and of Conrad Montferrat, in 1205 succeeded to the quote-unquote Kingdom of Jerusalem, which means the ports of Palestine, the capital at Acre. It's the old kingdom without Jerusalem and Bethlehem, without the hinterland. She succeeded to that by dynastic right. She was the eldest daughter of two, of Conrad Montferrat and Isabel. And the problem for the nobility was, well, you know, marry her. Get her hooked up with a Western European ruler. Unfortunately, the man who was chosen was a man named John of Brienne, who ended up having a long reign as titular king of Jerusalem. He had only one daughter with Maria, a girl who is either sometimes called Isabella or Yolanda. She was born in 1214. Maria died soon after. And John was the type of king, well, in many ways, similar to what you had with Guy of Lusignan. He was a lesser noble who came out. He was probably selected by John Ibelin, the Lord of Beirut and the native aristocracy, because what they didn't want was a ruler who was too powerful. The early 13th century sees a nobility increasingly concerned about its profits, its estates, its plantations. They're linked with the great merchant families of the Venetians and Genoese. What they don't want is an imposition of a stronger, more effective royal authority modeled after the monarchies that are now emerging in Western Europe, the kings of England, the Plantagenet kings of England, the Capetian kings of France. And the 13th century sees a very, very, very peculiar reversal here, that in the 12th century, this nobility very much wanted a feudal monarch who could give them the lead. They wanted someone like Baldwin II. They were dismayed when they got Guy of Lusignan. In the 13th century, we find the nobility increasingly looking in the other direction. To some extent, Maria was married, or Marie, her French name, she was married to John of Brienne because he didn't pose a threat. And John of Brienne turns out to be a very peculiar king. He's on the Fifth Crusade. He's not important enough to command before Frederick the second shows up, he's sort of there. He's constantly looking for a better throne, because after 1214, he's simply ruling as the regent for his infant daughter, who's eventually married to all people, to Frederick II. He has a long extended career as a regent in Italy for his son-in-law, Frederick II. At one point, he's also acting as regent for Baldwin II in Constantinople, the last Latin emperor. He's really rather, he intervenes in Antioch, too. I mean, his second marriage with his Armenian wife, with Cilician Armenia. He really is the type of monarch that is constantly looking for a throne if someone would only give him a chance. And he didn't really have the credentials, the charisma, the means to make himself an effective king. And in many ways, he's the type of monarch that the nobility in Outremer are coming to prefer.